Hey gang, welcome back. This is episode 4 of season 2 of the Priority Learning Culture Coaching Podcast. I'm Mike McKean, connected here with Craig Twombly. How you doing today, Craig?
Mike, I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself?
Cannot complain. I mean, we all have some complaints in the world, I'm sure, but as a bartender, I learned that not a lot of people want to hear it, and they'd rather have you listen to their complaints. So
I agree with you.
So today we are going to go over another piece of the emotional intelligence puzzle, if you will. So the last few episodes, we've been going over emotional intelligence and the couple of categories under that umbrella. Today, we're going to be going over self-perception and exactly what that means and how it integrates with the rest of these concepts. So, Craig, give us a little bit of a background on exactly what self-perception has to do with emotional intelligence.
Yeah. So self-perception, I always kind of say, is the foundational element of emotional intelligence. Not that it's more important or less important, but it's kind of like what I'd call the foundations of understanding yourself. Self-perception really ties into three categories. The three categories is self-regard, self-actualization, and emotional self-awareness. One of the things I kind of think about when I go through these three categories is if you don't understand yourself, and you don't understand those sort of tics and things that kind of happen in our personality, it's more difficult to kind of grow and to change. And when I say personality, I don't mean who you are as a human, but your behavioral cues. Because self-regard is really at the heart, your belief in yourself and your belief in your skills and the confidence that you kind of have and your ability to get up and give it a shot each day. One of the things I think about with self-regard is somebody that has a strong level of self-regard is willing to take more chances. They're willing to kind of maybe have those difficult conversations in the workplace. They're willing to try new things, and they're not as pulling back as much because they're not as concerned from that standpoint. So self-regard is what I'd call the foundational pieces. And we always have the debate here at Priority Learning. If you have a healthy level of self-regard, does learning and development become easier? And I would say yes, right? It kind of does. The second category is self-actualization. And self-actualization is something that I can tell you from my perspective is something that I have struggled with. And self-actualization is something about having a plan for the future and achieving results and being happy with what you have. And self-actualization isn't the sort of like racing towards complacency, but it's the ability at certain times in our lives and our experiences to say that was good enough. I did well. I'm happy with my results. I'm in a good place. Somebody that has too high of a level of self-actualization maybe never gets there. They're always trying to push the envelope a little bit too far. And you can kind of see how those two pieces really tie together. Your self-regard and your self-actualization play hand in hand. Mm. The third category is emotional self-awareness. Of the three categories, this is one that I really kind of love talking about. We've talked about it a little bit in the past. Your emotional self-awareness is your ability to understand how are you feeling in the moment and what your triggers are to how you feel. Like, so one of the things I find interesting, there was some research that was done, and we talked about it a little bit before, with road rage incidents where people did not know they were enraged.
Yeah.
Now that is part of your emotional self-awareness, and your emotional self-awareness is your ability to really understand at the moment how you feel. And I look back through my experience with emotional self-awareness. We've all experienced people that bring us great joy, right? And we've also experienced people that bring us tons of frustration. Mm-hmm. And the question becomes, do we know what those triggers are to cause both sides? So those are the three foundational elements of self-perception.
It's really interesting because it really is just that culmination of self, of the way that we see ourselves. I think today, something that I've noticed a bit of is a lot of downplaying ourselves. You know, there's an ego imbalance, right? There's either ego is too strong and we think very, very highly of ourselves, and to the point where maybe even our farts don't smell, Right. And then we have the swing on the low end where people don't think very much of themselves. And then we could see how that translates into not only the actions they take, but the risks that they take. And then how many of those people, when you have an imbalanced ego, are really aware of that and the emotions that they surround themselves with, basically, that they invoke in themselves because of that. So, not to say that ego is the only piece to play here, but it seems like it's one of the more relevant things that is in this category, is kind of like, where is your ego at? Might be a first place for someone to explore self-perception.
Well, something as you were talking about that self-regard, I think kind of really ties into that. One of the great conversations I've always had with people is somebody that has too high of a self-regard, meaning they really have a very, very high level, it actually can come across as arrogance or hubris.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So somebody that's really, really high in that category, as much as we think being really high in self-regard is positive, they might have a tendency to deflect responsibility. If something fails on the job, it's not their fault. It's somebody
Right.
else's, kind of into that sort of the element. So it's really kind of the balance is important. So one of the great researches that came out of self-regard is this is where imposter syndrome comes from. Right. So we've all experienced young leaders or young people, not age-wise, but young into their roles, and they kind of are working so hard to prove themselves, but they actually maybe have imposter syndrome. And the challenge I always kind of talk with organizations about is how do you get through somebody that maybe has an overinflated self-regard to see that maybe they need help and they need guidance and they need direction.
Yeah. So moving into the self-actualization, it feels like it's not quite motivation, right? Like, it's not just being motivated to do things, it's being motivated to make a plan for yourself, but also accepting that you might not finish that plan. You might get 75% of the way to your goals, and that's okay. Not killing yourself over not necessarily getting there, but also giving yourself to the drive to try, the effort to put in that effort to get there.
You hit it right there. Like, it's not necessarily self-actualization isn't like the mindset of becoming a CEO of a company. Self-actualization is having goals and a plan to get to your goals and your plan, but it's also your ability to kind of realistically understand who you are and accept what you are, right? And not in
Yeah.
a negative way, but it was funny. I was talking with a group the other day, and I said I always wanted to be a suave hair shampoo model, but I'm bald. I am what I am. I can't, you're right. So self-actualization is understanding what you are and maximizing your skills and your abilities based off from those sort of pieces, along with having goals put together for yourself. Right. So it's really kind of, it's not just like being driven towards something. It's really about being driven towards something that's meaningful, that has
Yeah.
value, and being realistic. I mean, I jokingly say the other piece too is always wanted to be like a great basketball player. I'm 5'10 on a good day. There's a high likelihood I'm not going to do that, right? I jokingly tell everybody I played hockey, right, as a kid, and I played hockey all the way up until I was into my early 20s. I realized very quickly that the average goaltender was 6'4". I'm 5'10". There's no, so it's not like saying I'm going to be something that you can't be, but it's accepting what you are, but also maximizing and having a goal and a plan to get to where you want to go. Right. So it's things like personal visions, plans. But and I get into the sort of mindset on this one. We were talking about it. I shared this with a group in the emotional intelligence series, and somebody was asking me about it. And I said, part of my challenge is every day I never think it was good enough. I always want to do a little bit better. I'm always pushing a little bit harder. And I had this gentleman named Richard in an emotional intelligence series, and we're sitting around having lunch halfway through the day, and we had talked about this. And he looked at me, he's like, Craig, I just wanted to let you know today was good enough. And I was like, oh, that sounds tough. And he's like, no, it was good enough. He's like, I want you to understand it was good enough. He's like, I'm not going to tell you it's great. I'm not going to tell you it's poor. He's like, I want you to to follow your own advice. It was good enough. Right. So that's that sort of self-actualization. And again, it's not like saying, it was good enough. Oh, well, but it's realizing what you are and where your strengths and your weaknesses are.
Yeah. No, that's funny because, you know, you could sit there and I can hear both sides of that. Like, it was good enough. You know what I mean? But like, no, it was good enough.
Yeah.
Like it was good enough. Like we got where we needed to go. There might have been some bumps in the road, but where isn't there bumps in the road in life? So good enough is a great place to be, you know, like almost good enough is significantly worse in my opinion.
Well, it's interesting when you use that inflection, like it was good enough, right? It's not a negative, but it's
right.
sort of mindset. Kind of get into it now. When we were talking about it earlier, I always kind of think like, go back to what we're talking about. Somebody that has a low self-actualization, maybe struggles with direction. They don't have that self-confidence, right? They're kind of really kind of don't necessarily know what they want and where they're kind of going. Not that anybody really ever kind of figures out fully what they want to be. But then somebody that has a high self-actualization might actually be or can be perceived to be intense.
Yeah. And I think it also ties into, like, there's a big thing going on right now, and at least in terms of this, like, internal culture battle, almost, I'll call it. And I don't know if that's the best way to phrase it, but there it is, where we have these things that we want to be. Things that, oh, you know, I would love to be like, you know, the goalie or the basketball player or whatever, that is possible. You know, you could be 5'10 and be a great goalie. You're going to be on the shorter average, right? And it's going to be a lot harder. And if you really want to put in the maximum amount of effort that it is absolutely going to take to get there, you could do that. But there's life to experience. And is that really the thing that you want to put all of your effort towards? Or is it, you know what? I would love to be that, but I recognize getting there is going to take so much commitment that I really am going to miss out in other places in life. And kind of the point that I'm getting to is there are things that we can change about ourselves and there are things that we can't change about ourselves. And accepting where we're at and where our drive is incredibly important for how we can move our lives forward in a successful manner.
Yeah. Well, and Mike, maybe part of what you're talking about too is I'm going to go back to what we were talking about. My self-actualization is really, really high. That does not mean it's productive.
It can right.
be intense. Now, maybe if I had a more laser focused direction as to what I'm trying to achieve, it changed, right? I've always kind of said the people that I work with that I see that are highly successful have a healthy self-actualization, but they're driven towards a specific task or goal, right? And they're not waffling around in 87 different things. Right? Not that, I mean, leadership is really about managing all those pieces, but it's really your ability to say, what are my hopes and my dreams for 2025? What does what do I look like at the end of 2025, and how do I lean into getting there?
Right? Yeah.
And it's not versus just stopping to say I'm going to be perfect in all things, right? And
right.
To your point, if I go through or if somebody goes through at the end of a year and they say I want to be a better communicator and I want to be a better leader for people, do they have goals and do they have a checklist and a plan to get there? That's that self-actualization versus I'm just going to be a master at all things, which I'm not sure in today's world we can actually do.
Yeah, no, it would be incredibly difficult. Honestly, I don't know when someone would find the time. So they'd have to start out with a really high IQ, which is not what we're talking about today. But yeah.
The thought on that one, as you get going, I think about sometimes we become frustrated with younger adults in this world, and we think they all want it today. I would tell you younger adults are well more versed in self-actualization than some of us older folks are. Right.
Yeah.
I think about my oldest daughter who is newly entering into the workplace after going through college, and she just wants to navigate and figure it out. Her goal at the end of each year is to be a little bit smarter, a little bit faster, with a little bit more money in her bank.
Yeah.
Right? She's not looking to tackle the world.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, realistically, in where the world is in its state right now, that's excellent, because hopefully that includes a drive with the community, right? And that, whatever form that takes, and our communities all look a little bit different, but if we start refocusing on our communities and with these attitudes and with this self-actualization, then the whole of the world becomes a little bit better, right? So if everybody's, because I feel like, and this is just a comment on modern society, we're all looking up at the big things that are going on, and we're kind of missing some of the close by things that might be slipping past. And if we redouble our focus on that, then maybe our entire communities will start to get better, which makes our region better, which makes our state or country or whatever, and go on and on and on better. Anyway, but that just kind of seemed to slide right in there for me. But now, moving into the emotional self-awareness, it is a necessary piece for the other two.
Great. I would tell you, I think it's the, I'll call it the not the foundation, but the, maybe the execution, right? So emotional self-awareness, a lot of the language that they use is understanding what your triggers are. Now, trigger is perceived to be negative. I can share with you that, triggers can also be positive. I think in a lot of businesses we work with, there's some leaders that get super excited when they see an employee that works for them tackle something that they've never been able to tackle before, been able to solve something. That's a trigger. It's a positive. What does that create? That creates happiness and joy and all of those sort of pieces. But then we also have negative triggers. And one of the challenges we talk about from here is, are you aware of the emotions you feel and what they cause? And again, we're not talking emotional, but I think we've lived in this kind of world where we kind of have become polarized, but do we really understand the frustrations and how we feel? And I always go back to the sort of mindset we're talking about with traffic, right? So I had great opportunity in driving yesterday with somebody I work with on the highways, and I look behind me and I see somebody like zigging in and out of traffic, and they cut between me and the car in front of me, like literally a car length between us. And for a brief moment, I had a very strong thought about that. And I stopped and I was like, okay, the trigger is they cut me off and I'm really feeling a little bit of frustration, might actually be on the edge of a little bit of anger. So I'm going to back off. They obviously are in a bigger rush than me.
Mm.
Now, by understanding that, it allows me to, number one, control my actions that kind of come from it, right? And this is something I think we've all had conversations in our lifetime where we've seen somebody send out an email that's hot, and then the next day they're coming back to apologize.
Yeah.
We call that the 24-hour rule. I would tell you the bigger quest for all of us should be to understand, do we truly know how we feel, and do we take the right appropriate actions understanding how we feel.
Yeah, no, it's funny. I've always kind of thought it was funny when you pass somebody like on a regular road and you have the dotted line passing zone, and you go to pass somebody because you want to drive faster, or they're driving slow or whatever, and then they start driving faster, and then they start tailing you after you've done, and it's just like, how did I bruise your ego? You know, if we were two people walking on the street and I walked past you, you wouldn't have that reaction. It's completely out of place. So not to focus on the driving aspect, but it is a great example of how we don't even realize our responses sometimes, and that we really need that emotional self-awareness to step back and say, whoa, why am I mad that this person's going faster than me? Why does that matter? I was very fine going the speed that I was just going. So why is it a problem to continue doing that? It's a great example.
So as you talk, one of the ones I think and I reflect, animals, personal animals in our lives, our pets become an enormous point of joy and happiness, right? So I think in my lifetime owning dogs, like I listen to people talk about their dogs all the time, that is a trigger to happiness. It causes people to be more happy, to be more excited. You know, they love to see their animals. They take great joy in seeing what they do, a lot like kids.
Yep.
And those spur an emotional reaction, right? That's healthy. I think the conundrum or the challenge we face is, do we know what the negative ones are? Right? Do we know those things that kind of push our buttons, so to say? And I think for leaders inside of organizations, it could be something as simple if they're a newly minted leader and somebody takes credit for something they've done. That's a trigger, right? Now, if it's left unchecked, that emotion can become more intense, right? It becomes more intense. And we all know what happens when somebody finally gets too intense on an emotion, it never ends well.
No, absolutely. But it's really interesting when you're considering like all of these things, the focus is balance. Right. So self-perception is really about having the emotional self-awareness so that you can balance your self-regard. Because having, like you're saying, too high of a self-regard can be very detrimental. Having too low of a self-regard can be detrimental as well. You need that balance. You want that balanced ego to say, like, nope, that's a little too much. Oh, you know what? I'm not giving myself enough credit. All right, you got to find that sweet spot, which then drives your self-actualization.
Yes, Mike, I think you hit the first step on how do you increase self-regard? Have you ever sat down? Do people sit down and say, what are truly my strengths? Where have my successes come from? Right? What am I good at? What do I enjoy? Right? Really kind of getting into those sort of things. Like, and then when you move towards self-actualization, I always kind of talk about if somebody's struggling with self-actualization, what are your hobbies? What do you like to do? How do you do more of it, right? So it really kind of, to your point, it kind of really builds one after the other after the other.
All right. Well, I think that is a great spot to wrap up the conversation of self-perception. Craig, thank you so much for being with us today and giving us an in-depth dive on this topic.
I appreciate it. I love talking about it.
All right, gang. So, just in case this has been very interesting for you and you want to learn more, you can always go to PriorityLearningResearch.com. You can also sign up for a future EQ workshop at the website, or you could contact Priority Learning to maybe see what else that they have to offer and other coaching possibilities around emotional intelligence. So I'm Mike McKean. We're here with Craig Twombly saying thank you for joining us today at the Priority Learning Culture Coaching Podcast. Next time, we'll be going over self-expression, and we'll talk to you then. Have a great one, gang.